And so I'm wondering if you can give me a little bit of what you've learned just by growing up Muslim about peace and nonviolence. Since I'm Quaker for the last 30 years, I've heard a lot about peace as part of Quaker groups, though we don't have sermons or anything. My first 20 years on the planet were as a Catholic. I heard some things about peace, specifically from the lips of Jesus, but I didn't hear opposition to war. So I'm just kind of wondering how that was for you, what you've heard from Islamic community or from reading Quran or however else you receive this information.
I would say, and, you know, at the same time, you know, when having this kind of discussion, sometimes, you know, I hear Americans or other people of other faiths, sometimes as Muslims, we tend to, you know, oversimplify things and say Islam is peace and everything is peace. There is aspects of also war and, you know, fighting and self-defense and so on. So in the teachings of Islam, it's highly emphasized, but again, there is also Muslims are allowed to engage also in war, for example, for defense or for somebody to defend themselves if their life is in danger. So I want to be frank and be clear about that. I'm not saying that we are totally, you know, we submit, and if somebody is hitting me or beating me, that I will just submit and not do anything. But growing up as a Muslim, especially in Somalia, and we have to understand that Islam also is a worldwide religion with 1.5 billion followers, cultures, geography, politics, there are a lot of socioeconomic factors that play a role. So we cannot say that Muslims also are all the same. There are huge differences, like the Muslims of Somalia versus Saudi Arabia versus Indonesia. So within that context, I will focus on the Somali experience. Traditionally, about the age of five, a child is first step to education is to learn the Quran, the Islamic holy book, memorizing it literally, you know, little by little. It will start with their parents. Sometimes they will have an instructor, a teacher come to their home. Sometimes they will join a school for Quran memorization. So even in the villages, we have, you know, wooden slates and use ink to write on them. Of course, today they use more modern means. So basically, we start from that age memorizing the Quran, and then when the time of school age comes, then we go to school. And even in the school in Somalia, Islamic education is in the system, so there's always a subject of Islamic studies. A lot of times, some people go another route of not the regular public schools, but through religious training. So they would have a teacher or a sheikh, that's the title for the Islamic, somebody who's knowledgeable in the religion, a sheikh or imam, will teach them about the faith. So they will start with simple books and the basic teachings of the faith, like the, you know, the six beliefs of Islam, like believe in God, believe in the angels, believe in the prophets, believe in books that God reveals, believe in the day of judgment or afterlife, and believe in divine faith. So these are the six articles of faith in Islam that a Muslim has to believe in. And then the five pillars, which is the declaration of faith, pray five times a day, fasting in the month of Ramadan, giving charity to the poor, and annual pilgrimage to Mecca. And I do notice that many Americans heard about the five pillars more than the other six articles of faith. So I'm just kind of summarizing it briefly. So it's kind of step by step. Then, you know, when we finish the simple books, then the next level, and then the next level, and it continues. People spend lifetime, you know, just learning about this religion. So when it comes to Islamic tradition, the Quran is the most important for one to be knowledgeable about. And the Quran is in Arabic, by the way, and many Muslims memorize it without sometimes knowing the meaning of the words, because there's a belief that just by memorizing it and by saying it, there is blessing and there is reward for doing that. But again, there are others who learn Arabic and also, you know, listen to interpretation of the Quran or what's called exegesis, and which is explaining the meaning of the words of the Quran. So people go through that. And myself, in Saudi Arabia, when I was going to college, as part of the college requirements, we did Islamic studies. I studied also at the bachelor's level, not full degree, but very close to a bachelor's degree in Islamic studies. But a lot of it also comes through the mosques or the Islamic centers. There are always lessons going on the weekends. Even here in the Twin Cities, many kids and many families go to the mosque for religious studies. And it's a tradition that remains with us wherever we are in the world, wherever we go. This is something very passionate and important for the Muslim individuals, those who are practicing and you know, conscious of uplifting their faith and being true to their faith. So it's a long journey. It never ends. Even as I am today, I'm still learning. So, you know, just to let you know a little bit about it.